Ladies, will you stand as we read from God's Word, just a portion of the lesson today? We're going to Exodus 27, and I'm going to read from verse 1 through 8. There's so much more that we could read, but I feel like that we have so much to hear what God has to say that I want to make that, sure that that's covered. But from God's Word it says, "And thou shalt make an altar of acacia wood, 5 cubits long and 5 cubits broad. The altar shall be 4 square, and the height thereof shall be 3 cubits. And thou shalt make the horns of it upon the 4 corners thereof. Its horns shall be of the same, and thou shalt overlay it with bronze. And thou shalt make it pans to receive its ashes, and its shovels, and its basins, and its flesh hooks, and its fire pans. All the vessels thereof thou shalt make of bronze. And thou shalt make for it a gate of network of bronze, and upon the net shalt thou make 4 bronze rings in the 4 corners thereof. And thou shalt put it underneath the compass of the altar beneath, that the net may be even to the midst of the altar. And thou shalt make staves for the altar, staves of acacia wood, and overlay them with bronze. And the staves shall be put into the rings, and the staves shall be upon the 2 sides of the altar to bear it. Hollow with boards shalt thou make it, as it was shown thee in the mount, so shall they make it." Ladies, let's bow in prayer. Elizabeth is going to come and share our prayer with us this morning.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we just lift Andra up to you today, Lord, that you just give her the words you want us to hear, and Lord, that we will be receptive of those words, and we ask you that be with each lady here, Lord. There are so many things going on in this world, and we just thank you for your words that encourage us and to let us know that you love us and that you are here for us. We thank you so much for Andra. We pray for Laura as she is gone and doing other things for your service. And we just ask you to surround her with people to encourage her also. And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Elizabeth. I appreciate that so much. Thank you all for your prayers, for your encouragement. And it's amazing how God works when you have such an awesome responsibility to stand before you all. I consider it a tremendous blessing and a tremendous privilege. And believe me, I do not take it lightly. And so it took a lot of soul searching, and I just praise God for providing us with the words and what he wants me to share this morning. We are going to record it, so hopefully all of our members that are not here will be able to go to the website, go to the site, and hear the lecture this morning. And again, I do thank Laura so much for entrusting such a responsibility as this to me. Ladies, we're amazed by the ultimate obedience that Moses offered to his Lord, never wavering while waiting for further instructions. After all preparations were done on the inside, God began his work on the outside. Picture the courtyard measuring 75 feet by 150 feet approximately, surrounded by a linen fence hanging from 60 pillars. Can we imagine entering the gate on the east to worship within the courtyard? We're among the children of Israel. The vastness of the crowd is unbelievable. We can only go so far, and then we must stop. We can go no further. It is the priest who will go before us into the tabernacle. The priest and the worshipers must pass through the only gate into the courtyard. This is their access to God. In John 10:9, Jesus confirms that "I am the door. By me, if anyone enters in, they shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. God's plan continues with the priest, who will be prepared with the responsibility for worship. They will have direct access to God. The priest will provide the usability of the tabernacle and all within it. Aaron, Moses' brother, was chosen or called by God as high priest, and Aaron's sons were called as priests. The priests were to carry on Israel's companionship with God. Since the blood of the Passover lamb had already redeemed the Israelites, companionship would be their next provision. At the cross, with Jesus' death, all believers have direct access to the presence of God. It is in Christ that we see the beauty and the glory of heaven. We do not have to rely on priests to go to God in our behalf. Instead, our prayers go directly to Jesus, who intercedes for us. The Israelites were given instructions to bring oil for the lampstand so the lamp could burn at all times. The oil was to be clear and pure. The processing of the oil required unripened olives to be pounded in a bowl where items were pulverized with a pestle to grind every particle. This method was more exact than crushing could have ever been. As the olives were pulverized, every drop of precious oil would be collected. The final product of oil gave off little or no smoke because of its purity. Ephesians 5:8-9 refers to this oil as a symbol of the Holy Spirit. And it says, "The work and witness of the Holy Spirit in the believer's mind and heart gives power to Christians to shine for the Lord." Women of God desire to shine for God. Through a closer walk and relationship with God, we are empowered to share the love of our Lord. As women of God, we desire a daily work, a daily walk, and a close relationship with God. As we learn about the priestly garments in Exodus 28:2, it tells us that God instructed Moses to make sacred garments for your brother Aaron, to give him dignity and honor. The high priest's ceremonial robes were known as the garments of glory and beauty. In style and color, the robes of the priest were rich in significance because they reflected both the wondrous beauty of God, the high priest, and also the privileges and the duties of all the priests of God. These priests reflect the appointed ones in the Old Testament and all of the believers in the New Testament. Aaron became the example of Jesus Christ in purity and holiness. The high priest wore a robe of blue, golden bells were attached to the hem, and pomegranates made from blue, purple, and scarlet were all around the hem. A golden bell, then a pomegranate, alternated the entire hem. The robe extended several inches below the ephod. The bells speak of listening to God while in His service. The music of the bells brings joy. The pomegranates speak of fruitfulness because of the abundant seeds. These are symbols of the Word of God as sweet and pleasant spiritual food. The sound of the bells confirmed that Aaron was alive and in God's presence. The offerings had been accepted by God. Over the robe, the high priest wore a garment called an ephod. It was made of fine woven linen with gold, blue, purple, and scarlet. It was constructed for both the front and the back of the body, made of two parts, which were clasped together at the shoulder by two onyx stones set in golden clasps. Each of these onyx stones was engraved with names of the 12 tribes of Israel. Six names, in order of birth, were carried on one shoulder, and six on the other shoulder. This meant that every time the high priest went into the holy place, he bore the names of the tribes. He represented these people to God. These two stones on his shoulders were memorial stones for the sons of Israel. According to Jewish tradition, the engraved onyx stones on the shoulders were designed to carry the names of the eldest sons on the stone on the right, while those of the six youngest sons were on the left stone. The ephod, with its different colors and materials, exemplified Christ in his highly priestly ministry. Christ, the high priest, bears his people upon his shoulders. His shoulders are a place of strength and a seat of power. As shoulders carry burdens, Christ, our high priest, carries our burdens alone. Women of God take their burdens to Jesus to carry alone. After the ephod was put on, it became a single garment, a sash or a girdle of blue, purple, and scarlet linen, entwined with golden threads, was tied about the waist of the priest. After being girded with a sash, the priest was fully arrayed in his garments. He was ready to begin his duties. On the ephod, the high priest wore a breastplate, which was a pouch of beautifully woven material measuring 22 centimeters square after all the folds were in place. On the front of the breastplate were fastened 12 precious stones, lined specifically in four rows. There were three stones in each row. On each of these stones was engraved the names of the tribes of Israel, one of the tribes of Israel. Each stone spoke of the oneness of the people to God. Their positions spoke of God's affection for his people. The first row was sardius, topaz, and emerald. And you can just picture the beauty as we read the stones. The second row was turquoise, sapphire, and diamond. And I think of those as being the most precious, but they were in the middle. The third row was jacinth, agate, and amethyst. The fourth row was beryl, onyx, and jasper. The names on the breastplate were always close to Aaron's heart, just as with Christ and his precious ones. The breastplate was a piece of elaborately woven cloth made of the same fabric as the ephod. It was a strip twice as long as it was wide, folded to form a square bag in which the Urim and Thummim was placed. In Jewish tradition, now in modern times, the Jewish scrolls of the synagogues are frequently wrapped in blue and purple, velvet, or silk cloths. A breastplate adorns the scroll, and a crown of silver and gold with tinkling bells are placed upon its rollers. This is a reflection of the items on the garments of the high priest. Even though it's not certain what Urim and Thummim were, it is thought that they may have been two precious stones, possibly identical in size, in shape. One or the other could be drawn from the pouch in order to provide a yes or a no answer in seeking the Lord's guidance. It is to be noted that these two stones are definitely separate, or definitely not the same, as the 12 stones mounted on the outside. Since Urim means light and Thummim means perfections, possibly the stones may have flashed in a particular way to indicate yes or no. Even though these are interesting facts, we realize they are only speculation. On his head, the high priest wore a turban of fine linen bound around the head in coils like a turban. On the front of the turban, or mitre, on Aaron's forehead was a golden plate attached with a blue ribbon. The plate was engraved with holiness to the Lord. This was a constant reminder of holiness to the covenant people in Israel and to the high priest in his calling. God instructed Moses to speak to the entire assembly of Israel and say to them, "Be holy, because I, the Lord your God, am holy." That comes from Leviticus 19:2. Women of God recognize God in his holiness. He is holy, and we walk on holy ground in his presence. By being marked with the golden plate, the high priest exemplified the true inner holiness on the ground of which Israel could be accepted before God. By making this commitment to holiness, Aaron could be assured that he qualified for divine service. As high priest, he was accepted by God as a mediator between God and the children of Israel. Aaron's sons wore white trousers under long embroidered coats called tunics. They wore sashes and headbands. Obviously, these garments were not as elaborate as the high priest's garment. However, these garments were constructed to give them dignity and honor. Their garments were set apart and holy for their service to God. God gave Moses the instructions for the consecration ceremony. The priests were to set aside for God's purpose. Consecration exemplifies the setting apart as holy. Exodus 29 gives us specific details of the seven-day consecration service. This service was to take place after the tabernacle was finished. Consecration could not happen without shedding sacrificial blood. The bread was required for fellowship with God. Aaron and his sons were brought to the door of the tabernacle, and the service was performed outside of the door of the tabernacle. This allowed others to see exactly what was taking place. The process began with cleansing. Aaron and his sons did not wash themselves. They received a washing. This was done in humility. We cannot be cleansed from our sin without being humble first. This great cleansing was a one-time thing. Then, from then on, they would cleanse hands and feet. Every Christian is washed by the work of God's Word, regenerated by the Holy Spirit. Women of God know that cleansing was accomplished by the death of Jesus. We're taken as his own by faith. Aaron was adorned in his holy garments, and anointing oil was poured on his head. Every believer is clothed in Jesus Christ and his righteousness. His sons were clothed in their garments, but their anointing did not take place until the ram for the ordination had been slaughtered. Some of the anointing oil was sprinkled on all of their garments to consecrate them. Oil refers to the Holy Spirit. Every believer is set apart and empowered by the Holy Spirit to be effective in our service for the Lord. Before we go to the final ceremony, let's look at the bronze altar as it was positioned in the tabernacle courtyard just inside the entrance. The word altar is a Hebrew term meaning a place of slaughter or sacrifice. The bronze altar points to the cross where Jesus suffered and died for all the sins of those redeemed through his death. Hebrews 9:22b says, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins." Christ was the sacrifice, just as the animals offered on the altar were sacrificed for the Israelites. God despises sin. He must judge and punish sin. At the tabernacle, the sins of the worshipers were dealt with after they entered the gate. Leviticus 17:11 says, "For the life of a creature is in its blood. I have given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar." The Israelites came to the bronze altar to offer a substitute sacrifice. Today, salvation is secured through the sacrifice of God giving of his own son Jesus on the cross. In the New Testament, John 1:29 describes how the Lamb of God takes away the sins of the world. Hebrews 10:10 says, "He did this once for all and for all time." As women of God, we know that through Jesus' death for our redemption, we receive the promise of eternal inheritance in heaven. The final part of the ceremony was the actual sacrifices. Moses was instructed to bring a bull for the sin offering. He was to bring two rams without blemish as well. The first ram was for the burnt offering, and the second ram was to be sacrificed during the ordination. Unleavened bread made of cakes mixed with olive oil and unleavened wafers anointed with olive oil made of wheat flour were to be brought also in one single basket. God instructed Moses that Aaron and his sons shall put their hands on the head of the ram. You shall kill it and sprinkle its blood around and on the altar. They first must offer a sacrifice for their own sins. Ladies, when we're baptized, the washing with water does not remove the guilt of sin. Baptism is an outward sign of what God is doing inside our hearts and our soul. Death was the penalty that Christ bore in our place as our substitute sacrifice. The animal sacrifices pointed to the coming of Jesus Christ. He's the Lamb of God who covered our sins with his own blood. The other altar was the golden altar, also known as the altar of incense. It stood in the holy place in front of the curtain that separated the two rooms of the tabernacle. This altar was smaller. It was to provide a place of worship. As we review the altar of incense, the Bible tells us that Aaron could burn sweet incense every morning and every evening. This symbolizes Christ as our intercessor, through whom our prayers and praises ascend to God. We are to daily sacrifice our praise and worship to him. Christ intercedes on our behalf as he appears in the presence of God. Women of God know the importance of daily prayers and praise to her God. We are to give our devotion to him as he gives love and mercy to us daily. God instructed Moses to collect atonement money as a ransom from every man who was 20 years or older. This ransom was for the man himself to the Lord. Their share to give was 1/2 shekel of silver. God made no difference between the rich and the poor. This ransom pointed toward the great cost of Jesus' sacrifice. His blood that was shed on the cross paid the price for us. Women of God know that their life is not their own. We are to honor God with our body, our heart, and our actions. We are saved from sin, saved for service. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20, "You are not your own. You are bought at a great price. Therefore, honor God with your body." The bronze basin was the final piece of tabernacle furniture. It stood in the courtyard between the altar of burnt offering and the tabernacle. The basin was used by the priest to wash their hands and feet. Within the basin was water for each priest to cleanse before he entered the tabernacle. The water symbolizes the scriptures, which is the living word of God. 1 Peter 1:22 says that we purify ourselves by obeying the truth, which we find in the living and abiding Word of God. Just as a special blend of spices and olive oil were used to anoint the priest, believers are anointed and consecrated by the Holy Spirit. We've learned that the Holy Spirit equips, enlightens, and empowers us in our daily walk with Him. Just as God says, I have chosen, I have filled, I have appointed, He chose and equipped the very individuals that He desires to do the intricate work of the tabernacle and its furnishings. He chose Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and Oholiab, the son of Ahishamach, of the tribe of Dan. God gives gifts to the believer to be used to build up other believers of Christ. Women of God are filled with the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. As Christians, our lives in the Spirit is unified in purpose and direction with the perfect will of God. Ephesians 4:6 says, One God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. Looking back on the tabernacle, we first see the entering of the eastern gate, then sacrifice and confession, next cleansing and forgiveness. At the holy place, we see worship. At the Holy of Holies, we see the encounter, which is the ultimate goal. In Exodus 33:18, we hear Moses plea, Show me your glory. We hear Paul's cry, That I may know him, in Philippians 3:10. As believers, we bask in his presence and look forward to the day in that beautiful city of God when we shall see his face. Revelations 22:4. It is his desire that you may know him and seek his face daily. And let's bow for prayer as we close. Dear Lord, our God, we thank you for your love and your mercy. Thank you for your Son, Jesus, who died on the cross for our sins. May we take away from this lesson how very much you love your children, how you desire to dwell among your people, and that this entire lesson points to Christ and what he does for us. Lord, bless these precious ladies as they step from the hallowed ground in your presence out into a world that is distracted by the things of the world. May we be the ever-burning light of the world that you desire. Give us that desire for every day as we come in contact with people who need to know more of you. May we leave today with confidence that you are our Lord and Savior. It is our heart's desire that every woman in this room may know you as their personal Savior. Lord, we love you and praise you. Amen.